worship, I wanted to read Psalm 116 over us as we sing praises to the Lord this morning. I just wanted us to start at a place where we have this reverence and this reminder as we sing today. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When always in great need, he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. Let's sing together this morning.
Give her mercy, you're my helping. Applause for Jesus. He's faithful.
Absolutely.
I love it.
That song kept going.
Yeah. Kept giving and giving.
Hey, guys, I just want, just for me, would you guys just give a big round of applause to Brad's haircut?
Oh, gosh.
I walked in this morning, Brad, and I was like, wow, that's so good.
I have to grow up sometimes, you know?
Yeah, that's so good.
Mature.
Yeah, so awesome. Okay, now that I've embarrassed him, have a seat. I like to do that. It kind of helps us kind of really get in the attitude of worship when we embarrass somebody.
It works.
Does it work?
It works.
Does it really take you to that place?
It really gets me there.
Yes, I was kind of trying to do that to Joe a little bit. I thought if I edged closer, but if I make Joe mad, it gets really bad later on in the service. We'll start playing like some Journey song, for the prayer time. So, So I won't really highlight or point you, embarrass you in front of anybody. Is that a deal? Yeah, good. Okay. Hey, so thank you for coming to Discovery Community Church, everybody. So when you came in, you got some, hopefully you got a worship folder, and inside the worship folder are some things that would be very useful. There's a blank piece of paper in there. We want to encourage you to take some notes this morning during our teaching time. We're going to be in the book of 2 Timothy, so you're going to want to have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible on your phone or have access to one, there's some Bibles over here on my right, a little table over here. And so make sure that you grab a Bible. It's going to be really important this morning. You're going to hear some great things. There's some great things that are happening, and some really great people this morning too. So in a few minutes, you're going to get to meet somebody that God's doing something pretty awesome in. And also this morning, we're going to take a few minutes, and we're going to recognize some graduates. So we have a few graduates in the room. I'm going to invite up here. This is Jesse. Jesse is our director of student ministries.
Hi, everybody.
You can always tell who's in charge of student ministries because their hat always matches their shoes.
Yeah.
That's how
we have to dress about 10 years younger than we actually are.
I know.
I was told today by Catherine B and Catherine G,
yeah,
shout out first time, what's up, girls?
Oh, wow.
That I look like I'm about 19.
Seriously?
They didn't lie to me, Jason. Be quiet. You're not a good friend.
It's so interesting because we went to school together.
We did.
He was 3 years older than me at the time.
Yeah. It was very, man, Midwest. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
You look really good today. You need to leave my friend alone.
I know. Okay, I will. No, no more about how young you look or I look, but let's talk about grads.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you guys, some of you, remember back, maybe this is a few years for some of you, but for some of you, a lot longer back, remember that like week before you graduated high school?
Yeah? Not really.
No. Neither do I. It's all a blur.
Yeah.
But there's that mix of like excitement, confusion. I don't know about you, but some people when they were graduating high school like knew what they were doing. And I was just kind of floating through life, like just hanging out. And it's an exciting time, but it's also a time where there could be a lot of anxiety, a lot of emotions. And it's important for us, I think, as a church community to recognize that in our young people, and really anybody graduating, whether that's high school or college, that there's this transition. And I think that God is a God of transitions. He loves to take people from one thing to a new thing, right? And so we have an opportunity to celebrate young people and really anybody that's doing that transition today. So if you are graduating high school, you're a senior and you're graduating either this week or next week, I would love to invite you up. If you are graduating college in some way, shout out Adam. He's going to have to come up too.
Come on now, Adam. Lead the
way.
What
else? If you're graduating.
Hey, listen, if you got your MBA, right? If you graduated from a program, maybe some of you have graduated with an advanced degree. Anyway, come on down.
Come on up. I got my girl Claire. Holla, Claire. Woo! I got Faith. What's up, Faith? Hey, hey. They love this. You guys have to take center stage because you guys are the most important. I don't know if you guys know this, but I have another one, Jonathan, who's hiding somewhere. Is Jonathan getting a snack right now, Zusel? Of course he is. This is an exciting thing. So right now, we have a gift for all of you, too. Like, this isn't just like you're up here. You know, you'll get it when you get off stage. But we just want to take a moment to acknowledge you guys, to pray for you guys, and to celebrate you guys. Good deal? So let's say a quick prayer. I'm excited for the next stage, whatever your journey is, wherever it takes you. And it's an exciting time. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for all of these young people and people up here. Transitions and graduation has no age. There is no time period on it. We're all moving from one thing to another thing constantly. And I just thank you for confidence in the next season of their lives, that they would recognize that you have a mission, you have a plan for them, and that they're stepping into that future excited and ready for the next thing. I pray that we as a church, that we can come alongside them and support them in any way we can. And I thank you for that next step for them. God, you are going to do amazing things. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you guys could all stand and give them a round of applause.
Hey, Jesse, have everybody introduce themselves, say where they graduated from.
Yeah.
Real quick.
Let's pass the mic. This is the best part. This is so awkward. I love it.
All right. Hi, I'm John Vance. I just got my MBA from UW-Tacoma.
Very good.
Hi, I'm Claire. I just graduated from the School of the Arts and majored in theater.
My name's Adam Berg. I got my Bachelor of Arts in Spanish from Wabash College in Crawfordsville, Indiana.
Hello, I'm Sarah, and I graduated from here, Lincoln.
Yeah.
I'm Faith, and I just graduated from School of the Arts with a visual arts degree.
Very, very, very good. We're grateful for all of you guys. Thanks for coming up and being a little embarrassed in front of us. But, you know, you're a really important part of this family. And we're really, really proud of not only what you've done, but we look forward to what God's going to do in the next steps for you guys. So God bless. One more round of applause for all of them. I want you to keep standing. We're gonna enter right back into worship. So if you wouldn't mind, stand back again with us. And do you need this? Okay, I'll give this to you. All right, thanks, Brad.
Stand next to you, like a candle to the sun.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. I'm Jason. I'm our communications director. And I currently am very frustrated that it's June 12th and I'm in a sweater, just fully bundled. And I'm working through that. It's a great place to give something to God. So here I am today. But our series this month is called Find the Lost Fire. And we really love to tell people stories. And I have a friend, her name's Mo, and she's found some fire, y'all. So come on up here, Mo. Let's chat. Let's chat, Mo.
Did so, I find fire or I am fire?
Well, girl, girl. They should have put us up here together. Mo, tell us you're in the full knowledge that we have 5 minutes to talk. Tell us your story.
Okay, I'll make it quick. So I had my first encounters with Jesus, probably like early teenage years, and I believed that he was Lord, definitely believed he was Savior, but I wasn't quite at the place where I believed like he was my Lord, my master. Like, like I was rolling with like this co-lordship thing, right? Like I see you, but like also I get to live my own life. And I did that for probably 7 or 8 years. So I was in the church, learning a lot of scripture, holding it intellectually, but not really allowing it to like work deep in my heart. So when we talk about fanning the flame, I was like a little ember. And cute too. Like I could I could stand on the stage, I could pray really cool prayers, but didn't have that like deep working in my life outside of the Sundays. And so then I moved to the pathway, sat underneath Bobby and Kelly, and biblical community radically changed my life. So when my church friends became my real friends, I could no longer be cute about my relationship with Jesus. You know, like I couldn't come in like cussing in small group, right? So I had to think about like, oh, okay. And so I would say from being in biblical community, the last 4 years of my life I've been walking forward imperfectly, but like fanned into flame by community around me. And so now we're like, me and Jesus were cool.
Yes. We're cool. So I love that. I love that. Yes. Yes. So what's the newest spark? What flame do we got going on right now?
Okay, so God is calling me into obedience in a way to like truly trust him that makes my like insides quiver. Like I don't want to, but I know that I need to. And so God has called me to do a missions trip for a year in Barcelona, Spain.
Barcelona?
Yeah, so most people would be like, oh, that's so exciting. I caught that.
Thank you.
Oh, that's so exciting. But for me, it's scary, right? Because when you grow up not having a lot, you make sure that you are financially secure.
Yes.
Right? So I'm a teacher. I'm an educator. So salaries, my paychecks come on the 5th and the 20th, right? Always, no doubt, no matter what happens. So to give that up and say, Lord, I'm going to go spend all my bags but not earn any bags in a whole new country is terrifying. And also, like, it's the first time I feel like I've had to truly say, okay, I'm going to trust that you are my provider. There's a lot of unknowns in this. I don't even have enough technically to go the whole time, but I'm still going to walk forward and go and see what you do. So we'll see if it happens, or y'all might see me back here in, like, next June, like, we tried.
I went, I did the thing,
did.
And now here I am.
I spent what I had. Here I am.
So what steps are you taking between now and then, and how can we be praying for you?
Lots of ways. So first, pray that I learn Spanish real fast.
Yes.
Pray that I could obtain a Spanish visa, because right now there's some roadblocks in the way. And then also pray for the finances to really fully be able to go. So maybe that's, you know, you're just a prayer. Maybe this is opportunity for you to get involved and also to give. We've talked about, like, what does that look like with our church?
Yeah.
So, you know, I say, like, oh, Mo's on a mission, but really we're all on a mission.
Yeah.
And so my hope and goal and prayer is to take you all on this journey with me through communicating through the blog, communicating through videos.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so essentially we are going to Spain.
Yes, and we'll have more information about what the fall will look like in terms of how we're going to be kind of following Mo and walking with Mo on this incredible and very relatable journey. So let's take a minute to pray for you right now. God, we're so thankful for Mo, so thankful to her obedience, Lord, and her obedience in light of some fear and some doubt. The courage is just doing it scared. So we thank you for that. Thank you for that obedience and that courage, God. We pray that, we pray for language acquisition. We pray for finances, Lord. We pray for the Spanish visa to come through. Lord, we know that your timing is right, and we want to trust in that fully. So we surrender all of that to you. We surrender all of the logistics. We surrender this time period of the next 3 or 4 months to you, Lord. And we want to pray as a church that we can faithfully pray for her consistently and lift her up, especially in this unknown time of when she's here before she's gone, and that she would be on our hearts and in our prayers while she is there. And thank you for her openness in sharing with us today. In your name, amen.
I want to encourage you to find a Bible. You can pull out your phone if you need to. I want you to find the book of 2 Timothy. We're going to be reading verses 7 through 12 this morning. Here at Discovery, we walk through Scripture together, and we finished a long journey through the book of 1 John, and now for the entire summer and into the beginning of fall, we'll be in this incredible book of 2 Timothy. Let's pray one more time this morning before we begin reading. Father, it is our prayer that you continue to stir the fire, that you fan the flame inside of us. And we recognize that as we ask that, that as we've been reading in 2 Timothy, that this is something that you long to do, but you ask us to have a responsibility in. And this morning, we're sitting here in front of you, in front of your word, with our hearts wide open, and we're asking for you to speak, but we are also asking for you to give us courage to take the responsibility that we have. I'm going to say that again, because sometimes it's hard for us. I want to just ask in front of all of heaven and say, God, would you give me, would you give us courage to take the responsibility that you've given us to fan this flame? In Jesus we pray, amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 7, it says, "For the Spirit that God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me as prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything that we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I'm suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day." This first chapter of Timothy is encouraging and powerful. The entire chapter really is about Paul, an older mentor, trying to encourage a younger leader, Timothy, to fan back into flame something that has become a bit of an ember in his life. And it's pretty normal, as we talked about last week introducing this, it's pretty normal for us to have fluctuations in our journey with God. It's normal for us to at times have this bonfire of a faith and to one day wake up and be like, where did the flame go? Why is there just a smoldering ember? It's a normal part of the cycle, but it's not normal to stay there. And so what Paul is admonishing this young leader says, hey, Timothy, this little ember is meant to be a raging fire in your life. It's time for you to take some responsibility. Now, This flame sometimes gets dulled by life. Amen? Sometimes just the busyness of life. Amen there? The lack of balance, the lack of margin, just, you know, things can kind of weigh on us. But here, starting in verse 7, Paul starts taking a different path. He starts talking about something else that I think probably weighs heavier on our flame than anything, and it's our disappointments with God. I'm going to say that phrase again, and some of you should be writing this down. This is what we're going to talk about today, is sometimes the flame in our life gets dimmed because of our disappointments with God. Because the things that we didn't plan on, the things that we didn't expect. Now, in verse 6, we didn't read verse 6, but I'll just take you back there because this is where we ended last week, and this is really the basis of this whole series. Verse 6, Paul says to Timothy, he says, "For this reason I remind you, fan into flame the gift of God." So Paul is writing to Timothy saying, listen, it is your responsibility to fan this thing back into flame. And as soon as he says that, he switches and he says, I want to remind you that the Spirit that God has given us does not make us, what was that word that jumped out there? Everybody, again? It doesn't make us timid. Now, the dictionary tells us that timidity is the lack of courage, okay? Timidity is a fear or insecurity that arises in our life. Now, we have fear and insecurity, lack of courage, because we are standing in circumstances that we didn't expect, don't deserve, and do not want. Amen? The only reason you have timidity, I mean, I don't know about you, but if I'm laying on my couch and I'm watching, you know, Top Chef, I have no timidity, right? If I'm coming home at the end of the day and there's some Popeye's chicken and there is some, you know, sweet corn on the table, I don't have any timidity. I dive right in with enthusiasm. Fair enough? I have timidity when I look around, I'm in an unfamiliar setting that is scary to me, or in a circumstance right now that I don't like, that I don't want, and I really don't think I deserve. This is a disappointment to me. So Paul's saying, listen, I want you to know that what you're feeling inside, watch this, what you're feeling inside doesn't have to win. Feeling of fear is the natural reaction of a person like you standing in a place like you're standing in. But you're different. You have, as a Jesus follower, the Spirit of the living God operating in you that can and will overcome the timidity or the fear, the disappointment you are struggling with. That power can overcome it. Now, Paul writes this not just as kind of a coach on the sideline going, hey, Timothy, get in there, man. Paul is writing this while he's experiencing it. Some of you here last week, but some of you weren't, so let me just take you back. Paul, he's writing this letter, which we call the book of 2 Timothy. This is the last thing that Paul will ever write. I don't know if he knows that it's the last thing that he's ever going to write, but he knows that the end is coming soon. He is once again in prison, and he doesn't deserve to be there. He's sitting in a place that he doesn't like. This is a significant disappointment. He ought to be out there turning the world upside down. Instead, he's in prison, and things are looking bleak for him, but not just him. Right now, as Paul's in prison, the emperor Nero is ratcheting up the persecution of the church. He's blaming because we talked about this last week, the burning of Rome. He's been blaming the burning of Rome on the Christians. Christians are being arrested. Christians are being killed. Paul's in prison. He can't do anything about it. The thing that he's devoted his life to is unraveling before his very eyes. He has disappointment. He's writing a letter to a young protege that he believed in, and he's fearful that he won't stand in the midst of this time. He's struggling with disappointment with God. Yet, he has such a radical perspective of these circumstances that he's in. And I want you and I to dig in a little bit to verses 7 through 12 this morning, because I'm pretty convinced that if you and I could take on the perspective that Paul has and that God wants for us to have, that little ember in your life would have a chance of burning bright again. Paul has a completely different perspective, as I said before, and I want us to look at it. He has this perspective that disappointments are simply tools that God uses to grow us. Paul writes this in a different letter. This is in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. He says this, we know. I like the way he says we know. He's like, this is a law of gravity. You know it, I know it. He just says, we know this. Let's see what he says we know. He says, we know that in, there's a little word there, three letters. Oh, everybody? Oh, he says, we know that in, everybody? All. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Paul says it's a law, it's a foundation principle that everything in my life, every circumstance, the good, the bad, the ugly, God uses for his good. The reality, Paul says, is even the disappointments that I have are gifts from heaven. Let's go right back to chapter 1 in 2 Timothy. Verses 8 and 9, Paul writes this, Timothy, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner. Watch this, watch it. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel. By the power of God, he has saved us and called us to a holy life. Paul is sitting in what should be an incredible disappointment, the worst kind of disappointment, and he says, guys, jump in the pool with me. The water's warm. It is awesome to be in this suffering. Don't sit on the sideline and go, man, that's a failure from God. Sit there and see this as the gift that it is and jump in and enjoy it. Isn't that weird? Nobody said amen to this whole thing I just said. But you see how Paul's perspective is so different than your perspective and mine? When things go wrong in my life, my perspective is, God, where did you go? God, were you sleeping? God, why once again did you fail me? And Paul says something completely different. Man, when things are going sideways, what an incredible gift. Peter writes it this way. He says, in all of this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, which is of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, your faith may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And when is Jesus Christ revealed? Anybody know? Two times. Peter's writing about two times. One, when Jesus returns. Straight up, this old world will not win. Okay? Straight up, God's winning, Jesus will return, and the entire world will bow down, right? Every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. When you begin to think and believe that the world is winning, you are absolutely wrong. Jesus will be glorified in the end. But here's the second thing that Peter is talking about. Not just in the end when Jesus comes back. Jesus will be glorified when? In the middle of this suffering. When you and I get squeezed, that's when Jesus begins to come out the most. Amen? Amen. It's an incredible gift. Jesus says in John 15, he says, I want you to know that I'm the true vine. He says, and my father is the gardener. He takes care of this vine. He wants this vine to be fruitful. He wants your life to matter. He wants you to live a life of purpose and passion. This is what God wants. So in verse 2, Jesus says this. So this is what a loving God does. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he lovingly, what's the word? He prunes it. Because he so deeply and desperately loves me. For Paul, suffering, difficulty, and even those lists of disappointments that I have are a holy gift. Jesus said in Luke 6, he said, looking at his disciples, Blessed are you who are poor. Have you ever looked at your poverty that way? Look, I'm looking in a room of people like me, and I know there's been some moments that you've looked at your bank account, and you said, why, God? But have you ever looked at it and said, thank you for the blessing of this incredibly lean time? Some of you right now, you're in June, and it's, what is it, June 12th today? And you're counting the days, you're like, can we make it? Can we make it the next 18 days of this month? Jesus says, blessed are you who are poor, yours is the kingdom of heaven. He goes on, he says, blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep. He's talking about the disappointments. He goes on, watch this, verse 22. Blessed are you when people hate you, when people exclude you and people insult you. Blessed are you. It's a gift from God, Jesus says. When they reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man, verse 23, he says, rejoice in that day. The day of your suffering, the day of your disappointment. He says, rejoice. He goes on, he says, leap for joy. He wants you to dance a little bit. He goes on, he says, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how all the great men and women of faith who went before us lived. And what an incredible privilege. How do you find the lost fire when it's become just a smoldering ember in your life? You start thanking God for the disappointment. Paul goes on, he says that there's really two benefits to these gifts. Number one is this gift is a gift for you to get close. Some of you amened at verse 12. I love verse 12. Paul says, this is why I'm suffering as I am. He says, and this, by the way, is no cause for shame. He goes on, he says, because I know whom I have believed. This is no cause for shame because in this difficult time in my prison while I'm waiting for the executioner, this is what I have got to, this is what I've had the privilege of doing. I am drawing closer to the one whom I love. There is something so rich about difficult times, amen, that we get to draw closer to God than at any other time. David writes in Psalm 34, he says, the Lord is close. The Lord is so close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. There's something about easy times. There's something about success. There is something about pleasure that obscures our view of God. One of the great gifts of difficulty is we get to hear his voice again. Paul writes in the letter to the Philippians, he says, In fact, just before this, he talks about all these things that he's gained in life, and he says, I call them all rubbish. He said, I give it all up. He says, this is what I want. He says, I want to know Christ. Yes, I want to know the power of his resurrection, but I also want to participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Paul writes in the first chapter of that very same book, he says, for to me to live is Christ, and watch this, to die is gain. It's so amazing that sometimes God gives you and I the gift of difficulty simply because we need to be close. And you guys know that this is true, right? Not only have you experienced this just with God, but you've experienced this in your life with people in your own circle, right? Like when my family, when kids, when we sit around the table and we start kind of talking about the good times and the sweet moments and start telling stories, you know what my kids always tell stories of? The worst times. Like all the things that I planned that went sideways. My two youngest kids, if you know, we have camped and hiked forever. We love it. But my kids, if you ask them the best camping trip, the two youngest will say, oh, it was that time we went to Blue Lake. And what they mean is that was a time that we drove 2.5 miles up into the mountains and we got out of the car and the kids said, what's for to eat, Dad? And I said, I forgot food. I forgot pots. I forgot anything to cook the pots and the food in. And we're 2.5 hours out and they're like, well, what should we do? And I said, we're going fishing. And so we caught some fish and we figured out how to eat it on a piece of wood burning in the middle of the fire pit. And you know what? They loved it. You know, my kids, sometimes they'll tell about the greatest moment was this trip we took. It was supposed to be so awesome, and the car breaks down in triple-digit heat, right? You know, you're like, we ruined our vacation. No, we didn't. We grew close. Amen? Paul says one of the great gifts of disappointments, if you will allow God to use it as such, he will draw you close right now. Straight up, I know that you're disappointed and the tendency, the flesh part of you. I'm looking around to see if there's any small kids in here. Okay, there's none. The flesh part of you is pissed at God and you want to push him away. But you have the spirit of the living God inside of you. And so you don't have timidity and fear and pushing God away. Instead, the spirit of God inside of you is saying, slow down, come close. I want to know you. Paul says, here's the second thing that this gift does. Is it gives us an opportunity to go farther. And I love verse 12, but I also love verse 7. Paul says, the spirit that God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us, what's the word? Power. Gives us, what's the second word? Love. What's the last one? Self-discipline. I want you to know, let's be honest about it here right now, ready? Most people quit. Most people quit. For most people, when things go wrong, when things are not pleasurable, or there's not immediate satisfaction, and we can't see the reward, we can't taste it, most people quit and turn back. But not the people of God. The people of God know that it is on the other side of disappointment that the greatest story will be told. Let me say that again because not one amen came up. The people of God know that the greatest story that's ever told is on the other side of disappointment, not around the disappointment, not evading the disappointment, but going through the disappointment is the great and incredible story of God that he's wanting to write in your life. Right now, a testimony is being developed in your life. A powerful story that will change the lives of people in your circle because of what you are going through right now. You are not a person that's filled with timidity, but you're a person of power. Will you say power? Power. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, he says, you will receive power. Not maybe, not might. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will be a witness of Jesus Christ powerfully everywhere you go and in and through everything that comes your way. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. Watch this. And they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. 1 Corinthians 2 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive the things that God has prepared for those who love him. You are on just the beginning of an incredible story. On the other side of this disappointment and difficulty is an incredible testimony to God, and you must go farther. Amen? You must go farther. I love that over and over again, Jesus exemplified that God brings difficulties in our lives so he can tell an incredible story. You might remember that thousands were stretched out on grass in front of Jesus and had been there for hours and hours. They had grown deeply and desperately hungry, so hungry that Jesus' disciples came and said, Jesus, please, we must send these people away. A mob is going to develop. Things are going to get ugly really, really fast. And Jesus says, well, why don't you feed them? And their mouths dropped open. And they said, are you kidding? We don't have enough lunch for us. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 14, verse 18, he says, bring what you have here to me. In the midst of the poverty, in the midst of the disappointment, in the midst of the hunger and the loss, Jesus directed the people to sit down in the grass. And then he took, I'm going to add the word that I think all of us should add in. He took the 5 measly loaves and the 2, everybody, measly fish. And he looked up to heaven and he gave thanks. Right now, God is doing an amazing thing in and through your life. And it doesn't feel like that in your natural flesh. But you're empowered by the Spirit of the living God. And so you're courageous. You're loving. You have the capacity to love right now. And you have the capacity for self-control. That means doing the opposite of what your flesh wants to do at this minute. You have that power. It's alive in you. Not because you're a good person, not because you're well-educated, but because you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus. And the moment that you did that, the Spirit of living God made his home inside of you. Don't allow what God means to be for a gift to drive you away from his mission. Don't allow what God means to be a gift to drive you away from his mission right now. Would you bow with me just for a moment? If you would be so brave while your heads are bowed, I'd like to invite you to just take your hands and turn them to heaven. And I want you to imagine, or maybe better, I want you to place that disappointment, I want you to place the measly just for a moment in your open hands. And if you'd be so brave, I want to encourage you just to lift it to heaven and give thanks. And go like this. Things have not gone as I've expected. At work, home, life, you fill in the blanks. And I just want to say, I thank you, God, that my faith is not in these things. My significance, my value is not found in these things. I thank you that my significance and faith, my value is found in Jesus alone. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are enough. I thank you, Jesus, that you are absolutely enough. Would you say that, Jesus? I thank you that you're absolutely enough.
And it is my prayer that somehow during this time, Jesus, you would be seen. I pray that, Jesus, you'd be seen. The eyes of my children will look upon me and see you. The eyes of my spouse would look upon me and somehow see you. That at work, at home, God, I pray that your son Jesus would be seen. Now, Father, I ask that your power and your love and your self-discipline would be experienced in the life of this church. In Jesus we pray, amen. Some of you need to continue to pray. You can pray where you're sitting right now, or you can come forward. There'll be some people up here that will pray with you. Some of you can stand while we're singing. We're going to sing a closing song. I'm just going to encourage you to do whatever you need to do to fan the flame, to bring in some O2 and oxygen, and let this little ember come back to life.
How great the chasm that lay between. Thank you.
Jesus, we are so grateful for a few minutes on this week just to descend in this place. Some of us, we walked in this morning with just such heavy hearts. Some of us walked in perhaps a little bit numb. But it is my prayer this morning that as we've encountered you and encountered your word, that you fanned an ember to life again. Father, I'm looking forward in the days ahead what you're going to do as we continue to just sit and allow you to breathe in us. In Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. What a good day. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for being here this morning. A couple of things, guys. If you want to pray, we're going to have some people still available to pray with you up here. If you want to talk with Mo a little bit, Mo's over here on my left or on your right. She's going to be available. Can you be available out here, Mo? Is that a deal? Okay. So we want to chat with her a little bit. You're going to get to know a little bit more in the months ahead of what she's going to be doing. And then next week, I know I don't need to say anything because you have it on your calendar. It is the second most important day in the calendar year. Amen. Easter, and then, oh, they don't even know hardly. Father's Day. It's Father's Day, everybody. Wow. Okay. Hey, listen, we know what you think about Father's Day, but here's the deal. We're going to have hamburgers and hot dogs and food and fun. We're even going to have a few prizes next week for dads. So bring a dad. And you know, on your way here, if you can't find a dad, just pull over somewhere on the street and grab a dad and bring them here, and we're going to have fun together. So, and then the last thing I say is I was told just a few minutes ago, Adam, for you and all the other grads, there's grad cake. So hang out, get some grad cake. John, you guys go down and be the first in line. Just race down there and get some grad cake. And God bless, guys. Have a great week.